A.S. Byatt, perhaps, is best known in the United States for her two novels that became movies, Angels and Insects, and the Booker Prize-winning Possession. Byatt's most enduring character is Frederica Potter, who first showed up in the 1978 novel, The Virgin in the Garden. Byatt brings Frederica's world to a close in her latest novel, A Whistling Woman, the last of the four novels in the Frederica Quartet. Martha Woodruff of member station WMRA reports.
For the first three books of the quartet, we've followed brainy Frederica Potter's bumpy life from late adolescence in the 1950s to single motherhood in the mid-60s. A Whistling Woman is set in 1968, amid 60s student unrest, strident spiritual seeking, and the first whispers of organized feminism. A.S. Byatt says the book's title comes from a frequent saying of her maternal grandmother's, "A whistling woman and a crowing hen is neither good for God nor men."
Nice women didn't whistle, and I wanted Frederica to have her cake and eat it. I wanted her to be a woman and not to have to be, as it were, a woman who achieved but therefore couldn't be a woman sexually and personally. And I wanted her to whistle. I wanted her to feel that she could do whatever she wanted to do.
A.S. Byatt was committed from the start to writing four novels about the same core set of characters, and she was herself surprised when Frederica became so dominant.
My original idea was to write a series of four books in which there would be at least six characters of equal weight, because I wanted to create a world in which there wasn't, as it were, a central character and there wasn't an alter ego for the writer in the world of the novel. She took over partly because I created her to be pushy. And in a way, I created her to be pushy because it was something I myself never was.
The daunting assignment A.S. Byatt gave herself when writing A Whistling Woman was to have Frederica Potter and her enormous supporting cast arrive at a stopping place. To accomplish this, she's written a novel filled with endings, all kinds of endings, romantic, professional, spiritual, and intellectual. The book even begins with an ending. In Chapter 1, Frederica's housemate Agatha is relating her regular weekly episode of The Whistlers, a saga about mythic fearsome birds with women's faces. Agatha's been spinning her story out before a regular circle of family and friends for over 2 years. And now, she says, without any warning, that is the end of the story.
All these people were both shocked and affronted by Agatha's brutal exercise of narrative power. She closed her notebook. Her face wore its usual mild, composed look. Leo's red eyebrows knit in a ferocious frown. "That isn't the end. We don't know everything. We don't know what happened to the Whistlers. We don't know what his uncle was like. We don't know where his father is. We've waited and waited and waited to know these things, and now you say... Saskia stared and opened her mouth. No sound came out, but her pale skin purpled and dappled. Then the howl came, primitive and outraged.
Byatt knows readers may engage in a few primitive howls themselves as it sinks in that this really is the last we'll hear from her about Frederica Potter.
I had a bad time before I started it because I thought perhaps I can't pull this off, and it has got to feel like the end. It has got to be a finale. It's not an ongoing saga. It absolutely isn't a soap on the television that you can keep adding a few more episodes. About 10 years ago, I think it was, I understood that there was a reason why Shakespeare tied up his plays and why the Victorian novelists tied up their novels, which was that readers need that. They need finality. And openness is just as artificial as finality. Given that we all die, it's slightly more artificial. And I therefore finished it off very artificially, almost like a Shakespearean comedy, you know, finding everybody the right partner or at least the right possible future, so that I tied up all the ends.
A.S. Byatt doesn't just tie the ends up, she ties them up happily. Alice K. Turner has read and reread the other three novels of the quartet and reviewed A Whistling Woman for The Washington Post. Turner thinks it's Byatt's best novel.
It's very ambitious. I mean, she's an academic writer in some way. She knows exactly what symbolism is, and she uses it in, I think, a rather humorous way in this novel. It's not at all a sort of passive, quote-unquote, female novel. There's sex, there's violence, there's humor, there's all kinds of stuff going on. It just seems to me to be, for a rather careful, formal novelist, a sort of letting down of the hair that I think is marvelous.
Some readers may find A Whistling Woman dense and a bit hard to follow. There are intricate explanations of snail sex, Manichaean, 60s culture, early British television, and the garden of mathematical forms. Byatt says her characters are passionate people who express themselves most fully through intellectual exchange.
People who think very rarely get into novels, because novels, as Forster rightly said, are about feelings. But my feelings are about thinking. I don't like letting go of anything until I've understood it. That is the kind of writer I am. I know what I'm doing.
And what she's doing now is working on a new novel set in the 1890s. Byatt's already done a lot of research for the book, but refuses to give even a hint about its subject. For NPR News, I'm Martha Woodruff in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.